with only one out, and one out being a sacrifice by Hayes, who was not bat earlier in the inning. Infield still playing back as Jackie takes the first pitch for a strike over the heart of the plate, waist high. And there's the ball, making the count one ball and one strike on Hayes. One and one the count. Bryant winds up, throws again. Jackie swings in a high bounder. Bryant gets it. The runners hold their bases, so he throws the first, getting Hayes for the second out, making it two out in the seventh inning and bringing Dykes to bat. Dykes up there at the plate. Dykes was walked purposely with runners on second and third earlier in the inning, but that strategy didn't work when Mr. Sewell stepped up there and smacked one. And Dykes hit the foul down to Billy Webb, coaching at third. He grabs it, throws it out the hack, goes on around the Cub infield, which still seems to be showing a lot of fire, although they're way behind right now. Winds up, throws again, and Dykes takes a slow one, the curveball wide for ball one, and the count is one ball and one strike. One and one the count. Bryant throws again, and Dykes falls down under one that almost hit him in the shoulders, and he takes it for ball two. So the count is two balls and one strike. Two and one on Dykes. Ready once more, starts to wind up, throws, and it's a ball that hit the bat and hit the ground and then bounded foul fair over to stand to the right of the plate. It's still two and two, two balls and two strikes. Bryant waits there, rubbing up that ball pretty carefully. Finally starts his wind up and throws, and Dykes. Dykes did the same thing that time he did before, and he looked at the bat and he looked at the plate and he said, I couldn't do it again if I tried. He starts to swing, and then as he pulls back, he doesn't pull back quick enough. The ball hits the bat and bounds down onto the plate and then caroms clear over to the right against the stand. Two and two, and there's ball three. It's inside across the waist to make it three balls and two strikes on Jimmy Dykes. Three and two the count. Three and two now. Throws again, and it's ball four wide, and Dykes gets his second walk of the inning. Once more filling the bases for Mr. Lucius Luke Steele. Mr. Steele is up there again of the Ohio, but formerly of the Alabama Steels. He singled with the bases full earlier in the inning to drive in the first two of these eight runs that have scored. White Sox are leading 11-1 in the last half of the sixth. And Sewell takes the first pitch, a curveball wide and low for ball one. Waits there again, has the sign, he's winding up. Throws, and Sewell swings at a pop fly, which English is calling for. He has it, it's three out, and they finally retire the side. And of course, the White Sox fans come up with a big howl, because they've been waiting for this all year, in fact, for several years. Very several. In the last half of the sixth inning, there were eight runs. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five, six, 2 hours, and three. And the score is 11-1 in favor of the White Sox at the end of the sixth inning. First man at bat for the Cubs in the seventh will be Hack. And now Mr. Stratton doesn't have a very difficult job. One more bite of his dog down here. Hey, some of the Cubs fans are spinning. They're standing up. This isn't a hot dog now. It's an ice dog. Oh, Now, here we go in the seventh inning. Stanley Hackett bat for the Cubs. Stratton starts to wind up. Pitches. Stan takes the curveball and catches the outside corner knee high for a strike. One strike on Hack. Stratton throws again. The hitter swings and it's a bounder down to Hayes. It goes to his left to get it. Throws to first. And Stan is out for the first out in the seventh inning. One out in the seventh inning for the Cubs. And Gabby Artnett is at bat. Gabby takes the first one for a strike. It's over the heart of the plate, but down just about knee high. Not much more than that. One strike. And he hits the next one. A beauty down past third base. Going on down with Radcliffe tearing over for it. Gabby makes the turn, but stops at first. Goes back there when the throw comes in from Radcliffe. Gabby, as we've mentioned, is no particular gazelle on his feet. And while most fellas might have had a double on that, Gabby played it safe. I mean, after all, you crouch around behind that plate as many years as he has, and you won't be doing much gazelling either. Allen is going out there to run now in place of Hartnett. Allen running for Hartnett. And Gabby gets the hand from the trumpet fans. He walks over to the bench. And Gill steps up there taking the first pitch over the plate, but too low, and it's ball one. One ball called. Throws again, and Johnny fouls the ball on the ground to the right of the plate. That makes it one and one. One ball and one strike on Johnny Gill. Stratton wakes out there, slaps the ball into the glove a couple of times, uses the rising bag, steps up on the slab, swings around ready to pitch. Pitches, and it's a high one wide for ball two, making the count two balls and one strike. 2-1 is the count. He's ready out there again. He throws, and Gill hits a long drive away out deep right field, but it's foul. Foul against the right field wall. Wouldn't have gone in, but it was outside by several feet, and it's two balls and two strikes on Gill. Husky, left-handed hitter. Stratton used the rising bag, has another ball to pitch. He's ready once again, swings around to get the sign. And pitches, and Gill swings it, a pop foul to the left of the plate. Sewell is over there waiting for it, has it, and it's two out of the seventh inning. Jurgis up there now, two out of the seventh inning for the Cubs. Allen running for Hartnett, still on first base. Score, 11-1. Favor the White Sox. Throws, and Jurg takes a strike over the outside corner about waist high. One strike on Jurgis. Ready out there again. Throws. And he swings in a high fly to short center field. Hayes is going back. Rosenthal coming in. And Jackie lets Larry come on in to make the catch after a long run for the third out. And it ends the first half of the seventh inning with no run, one hit, one man left on base. And now the White Sox crowd, which is by far the biggest percentage of this audience today, steps up for its seventh inning stretch. And with a few cheers and yells, they get the old kinks out of the legs as the White Sox come in there to take their turn at bat in the last half of the seventh inning with Monty Stratton, the first man up. Stratton, who, as I said, in the latter part of the season, last couple of games hit very well and has hit hard today. Only a great play robbed him of a base hit in the fifth, and then he hit one in the sixth and hit it plenty hard to drive in a run, and he later scored one himself. Ken O'Day is now out there to catch for the Cubs. And the first man at bat in the seventh inning is Monty Stratton.
Did you, were you saying you wanted to say something, Mr. Fowler?
Yes, Al Totten. All I'd like to say is this is the voice of labor. WCFL, Chicago.
Well, if that's what you wanted to say, that's perfectly okay. I don't know why I shouldn't say it. In fact, you did say it.
Here's Stratton at bat to start the last half of the seventh. He swings hard and misses the first one for a strike. One strike on Stratton. Bryant waiting out there again, has the sign, starts to wind up. And pitches, and Monty swings in a high fly into left center. Galan is jogging in under it. He's waiting, has it, and it's one out in the seventh inning for the Sox. One out in the seventh, and Rip Ratcliffe, White Sox left fielder, is up there at the plate. Ratcliffe at bat. Winds up, throws the first one, and the Ripper takes a wide one across the waist for ball one. One ball called. It's ready once more, winds up again, throws, and it's a strike over the outside corner above the knees, so the count is one ball and one strike on Ratcliffe. One and one the count. Ryan again taking that swinging windup. Throws a slow one, which Rip lets float wide and low, a curveball for ball two. And it's two balls and one strike on the Ripper. Two and one the count. He winds up, throws again for ball three, wide across the waist. And it's three balls and one strike on Ratcliffe. Three and one. Ready out there, winds up, throws again, and it's a strike over the outside corner across the knees to make it three and two. Three balls and two strikes on Ratcliffe. Three and two the count. He swings again to hit a bounder. English is in front of it, gets it, throws the first, and it's two out of the seventh inning. Two out of the seventh inning for the Sox. And Larry Rosenthal again is at bat. He's made four hits and eight times at bat in the series. Happening has four hits and six times at bat, so he's now the league leader, the series leading hitter. And here's the first pitch to Rosenthal, and takes a wide one across the waist for ball for a strike. Caught the outside corner at that. No, it was a ball. I looked at the board. I didn't see the umpire's hand go up, and the board showed a strike. But they changed it to a ball. So it's ball one. And there's ball two wide across the waist, making it two and nothing, two balls and no strikes on Rosenthal. Two and nothing is the count. It's ready again. Winds up, throws, and Larry swings and misses a curveball, a slow curve for strike one, making it two balls and one strike. Run one the count. Bryant taking that easy wind-up, throws again. Larry gets strike two, a fast one over the outside corner, a little below the waist, to make it two balls and two strikes on Rosenthal. Two and two the count. She's winding up. Throws again, and it's a high one that hits the catcher's glove, bounds out to the left of the plate, and it's still three and two. Three balls and two strikes on Larry. Three and two is the count with the pitcher ready once more. He starts to wind up again. And the hitter swings the foul ball back to the screen. It's still three balls and two strikes. Still three and two on Rosenthal. Three and two with the pitcher ready once more. Winding up. And he pitches for ball four. Lowry gets the base on ball to put him on first base with two outs in the seventh inning on Mule Haas as it's back.
Haas up there at the plate.
Ryan has the sign. He's ready. To first base. Throws and the hitter takes the ball. It's inside and low. Day comes up with it ready. Springer and Rosenthal, a fast man, might be on the way or have a big lead. And, of course, the rumor still is naturally over in this league, same as in the National, that he's throwing as it all it should be, perhaps. Still watching first base. Throws and the hitter takes a wide one across the knees for ball two. And the count is 2-0, 2 balls and no strikes on Hart. 2-0 to count. There's a sign out there again. And pitches, and it's ball three. Well, it's wide across the waist. Now O'Day suddenly looks at the ball, asks for another one, and without further ado, umpire Ornsby hands it to him, throwing the other one out and into the, over to the Sox bench without even examining it, and the count is 3-0. 3 balls and no strikes. It's ready out there again. Throws, and it's a high one wide for ball four. And Haas also gets the base on ball, moving Rosenthal to second base. And the White Sox have runners on first and second. Two out of the seventh inning, and Zeke Venura is at bat. Venura up there at the plate. Out there, wipes his hands dry, swings around the flat. And the first pitch is so close to Zeke, he has to almost fall down to get away from it and take it for ball one. O'Day grabs the ball, throws it back out there to the pitcher, and Bryant waits there again. Swings around on the rubber, looks back at second, pitches, and it's ball two. It's inside and low. Bryant's control is ordinarily pretty good, but it certainly isn't out there today. He walked a couple men in his sixth, in the sixth inning, and now he's walked two already in the seventh. As runners on first and second with two out, White Sox leading 11-1. Bryant throws again, and it's a strike. It got the outside corner across the shoulders to make it 2 balls and 1 strike. And one is the count. And Zeke swings in a high fly, it's foul to the right of the plate. O'Day's jogging down there, calling for the ball, has it, and it's three outs, ending the seventh inning. No runs, no hits, two men left on base for the White Sox. And at the end of the seventh inning, the White Sox are leading the Cubs by a score of 11-1, a rather overwhelming margin in any man's league. Now somebody's going to come to bat in place. Lillard coming to bat in place of Bryant in the last half of the seventh inning. Rather, the first half of the eighth inning. Still, it's hard to figure a Chicago team is up to start an inning. I don't know. When you talk about Cubs or White Sox, you always figure them the second team at bat. Start of the eighth inning. Lillard is batting for Bryant. Right-handed hitter steps up there to the plate. And Stratton's first pitch is inside and low for ball one. One ball called. Bonnie winds up again, throws, and the hitter takes a strike over the inside corner waist high. And the count is 1 ball and 1 strike on Lillard. 1-1 the count. Ball two, a curve ball very wide and low, runs the count. 2-1, 2 balls and 1 strike. Bryant gets the sign again, winds up, throws, and Gene swings it, a slow bounder down the third baseline. Dykes comes in nicely and fires the ball across the infield with Venura digging it out of the dirt and hanging onto it for the first out in the eighth inning. One out in the eighth inning for the Cubs. And Augie Galland, leadoff man and center fielder, steps up there to the plate. Galland at bat. One of the warm-up balls in the Sox bullpen. Somehow or other got clear off the back of some shortstop position in left field, so they had to call time while Halfling went back to get it and throw it over to the warm-up catcher there. Now Galland watches the first pitch come over the outside corner a little above the knees for strike one. One strike to count. He winds up again, throws, and it's a slow one that clips inside and low for ball one. Make the count, one ball and one strike on Galland. One and one the count. Throws once more, and Augie gets the ball too wide and low. So it's two balls and one strike. Two and one with the pitcher ready again. Waits out there for the sign. He has it. He's winding up. Throws, and Augie gets the third ball wide. And it's three balls and one strike on Galland. Three and one. Starting winding up. Throws again, and Augie gets the second strike. It's over the outside corner, waist high. And Augie, who made the usual start first, comes back to the plate. And one, three and two, rather. And Galland swings at an easy pounder out to Hayes, who gets it on the second hop, throws the first, and Augie is out for the second out of the eighth inning. Two out of the eighth inning for the Cubs, and Cavaretta is up there at the plate. Cavaretta swings and drives the ball into center field for another base hit. His second hit of the game. And it puts Phil on first base with two out in the eighth inning. And Woody English up there. Woody, who replaced Billy Herman after Herman was hit in the right arm or wrist with a pitch ball. Throws the first one, and Woody gets a good strike. It's over the heart of the plate, a little above the knee. One strike on English. Ready once more, throws, and Woody takes a wide one. The catcher throws the ball to first, but Cavaretta went back standing up, beating a throw. He was all ready to slide, but he saw that Sewell's throw was a little bit low and outside the bag, so he came in standing up. It's one and one, one ball and one strike on English. And he hits the next for a high foul down the right field line and back into the stands. Cavaretta was around second base, but he turns and strolls back to first. Quite a scramble for that ball down there in the stands. One and two to count, one ball and two strikes. And Woody started for the next one, but stopped and pulled back to take it inside across the waist for the second ball. That makes it two balls and two strikes on Woody English. The bat for the Cubs in the eighth inning with two outs. Cavaretta on first base. White Sox leading 11-1. Stratton ready again, throws, and it's ball three high and inside. Run the count to 3-2 on Ellie. Three balls and two strikes. Stratton rubs the ball up a little bit, then walks back onto the rubber. He's ready to pitch once more. With a runner on the go on the 3-2 count, the hitter hits another foul. One of the fans missed the ball over there, and it bounded out of his hand, started bounding along the front, just under the railing. Just before it dropped over, some other fan managed to grab it and keep it upstairs. 3-2 is the count, but you're ready again. Throws, and English hits a high fly to right field. Hoffman going back under it, still going back, and grabs it and hit his glove and bounds over against the stand. English pulls up at second base, and Cavaretta is scoring. And it's a long two-base hit to the base of the wall in right field. Hart seemed undecided for a moment. And then when he did start going back, as hard as he could go, he couldn't quite reach it. And it hit his glove. So a real long boyfriend from Everett, George. I think that's the moment, isn't it?
No.
That's the thing. As soon as you open the door, I can tell which one it was.
Giving us the whistle as usual.
And now Demery at bat takes the first one for a strike over the outside corner about knee high. One strike count. Score now 11-2 in favor of the White Sox. English on second base, two out, one run home, and Demery takes the ball wide, and the count is 1-1. One ball and one strike on Demery. Stein swings around, ready once more, throws, and Frank hits a pop fly out. Back of Appling, Lucas back in the grass, calling for the ball. He has it, and it's 3-0 in the eighth inning. One run, two hits, one man left on base. In the first half of the eighth inning, 4-0. And going into the last half of the eighth, the score is 11-2 in favor of the White Sox. Charlie Root, veteran right-hander of the Cubs, is walking in to resume the pitching chores, and Charlie Grimm is waiting out there. Charlie gets a hand from the fans as he's announced. Going through his warm-up out there. With Appling standing over here with his hand on his hip and leaning on the bat watching him, he'll be the first man to face him. This is by far not Charlie Root's first City Series game. Charlie finishes the warm-up and Luke steps up there to the plate. Appling at bat starts the last half of the eighth inning.